Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. I said it fast like that so I would have more time in the introduction. But now, I'm wasting that extra time with unnecessary explanations. So I'll get to the point. I would like to come together with you, my friend, like two tubes of epoxy, the hardener and the other. But if we work together and combine our efforts, we can repair a shattered teapot. Can't use it again, but we can make it look whole so that Mom won't notice that we were monkey businessing and broke it. Oh, my friends, I like to think that this show is like a shattered teapot. You can't really put anything in it or use it for anything, but look, you can look at it and you say, hey, that's worthless because it's all cracked and everything. Don't bring this show to Antiques Roadshow. They'll say, what you have here is a radio show, my friend, and there's lots of them. And so I'm going to estimate the worth as, zero, but it could be priceless to you. This show to you could be like a Native American blanket from the 1700s. Can you imagine? And you wouldn't want to use it, right? That's why I always buy cheaper blankets. I find that those $1 million blankets, when the dog chews them up, which my dog will. My dog chewed up, my granny made a quilt, beautiful heirloom with all the, and the dog ate it. But maybe she knew that, and that's why some of the patches were made of jerky. That is an old-time thing. We don't do that anymore. The meat blankets like that are out of fashion. Lots of things are out of fashion. Doesn't mean they're bad. Like taking tea together. I want to have tea with you. Why not coffee, Hardy? Coffee seems more American. But coffee, the implications are that we're sitting there in a diner together. We're two private detectives or something, sipping our coffee and say, oh man, I was hit over the head last night. What about you? Yeah, I was also hit over the head. You'll notice in a lot of American detective fiction, the detective's always getting hit over the head and waking up, oh, I woke up, I didn't know where I was. But British detectives, they seem to avoid that, I've noticed. They don't get hit over the head as much. Don't know why. I guess it's just part of the American experience. But let's have some tea. Because tea, it takes more time to make. It's kind of fussier. There's all these steps, all these little accoutrements you can get. I sound like I'm selling RVs, but they're accoutrements that you can get, little items to make your tea. You can get little teaspoon, they call it. All things like that. Tea, olive is a different thing. That's actually a bush. And it doesn't have olives or tea. How about that? That's how I make these observations. I don't know where they come from. I think my liver. In old times, the doctors didn't know. They say, I think you think bad thoughts with your liver. Yeah, why not? Nobody knew until they cut somebody open. They say, now I still can't tell what's going on in there. It just looks like a mess to me. It looks like a shattered teapot. Oh, I'm a little teapot, short and stout. This is my handle, this is my spout. My handle broke off, my spout is clogged. Good Lord, life is hard. Life is hard for a teapot. The teapot is the human head. The water we put in is thoughts. Then the tea we... I don't know. I don't remember it all because I didn't complete my childhood. I don't know if you all did. I didn't. Mine was interrupted. I had to grow up. And this happened around, oh, Lord, I don't know, I was 19 or so. And they said, no, Hardy, your childhood's over. You have to take responsibility now. Go get a job at Putt-Putt or something. I did. I stepped up. I said, I'll do it. I know it's hard work, but I'll go. I'll be a birthday clown or something. And I don't know, until you've worked like that, like a hard job, you don't realize what a lot of people go through. And you say, well, why is that a hard job? Because you can lose a finger or something. Conceivably, if the birthday child, let's say, is a bonobo. Say, oh, beat my finger off. Because he said, you're not a real clown, chomp. They don't say it. They actually point to a chart. Blueberry want not real clown finger bite. Like that. It's amazing. We can teach language to all sorts of animals now, including our own children. Which, oh yes, are they animals? Yes, I'm afraid they are. And I don't mean like, well, yes, no, they're exactly animals. They are, however, not insects. Let's not confuse that. What kind of animal is a bird? A bird. I have science books to look this up. Say, oh, why don't you look online? I'll tell you why, because I don't know what's a parody site. I get all confused. For a while, I was getting this thing from this Wikipedia, but apparently that's a parody site. So I also, anybody can change any information in there, which is beautiful. I like that. It's democracy. So I think banjo no longer means banjo. It means postage stamp. All right. If that's the way people are going to use it. You'll notice that with words, too. If a word is misused for long enough, that becomes the new definition. And I know that begs the question. Oh, that's a perfect example. Two phrases, too, can change what they mean. And it just depends what the definition is. Whatever the dumbest person thinks the word means, that's what it means. Nothing we can do. The stupid will always win. And why is that? Why is that, Artie? I don't know. Because they're not constrained by logic or anything like that. A lot of people say, oh, I've got to reason this through. Why is my stupid friend, he's all done with his test. I know. You see? Because technically, I guess he won. Right? Because the early bird catches the worm. But does he make tea out of it? So tell me about tea. Well, I will. I'm going to tell you about two things. One is I met a Japanese person. So just one. But I'm going to use that person to make sweeping generalizations about all Japanese people throughout time. And can you do that? I don't know. Let's see. Japanese people are raised in China and Korea and then returned to Japan later in life. Did you know that? This might not be true for all Japanese people. I'm basing it on one limited experience. And I've talked a lot about the five blind men and an elephant. And you know that parable. So five blind men encounter an elephant. And they walk up and they say, an elephant is a cloud of noxious gas. And they all walk away and they agree. But that's not what an elephant is. If they had just simply put their hands out, they would know that an elephant is flat like a pancake. And if you've not had elephant pancakes, don't. They're not really made of elephant. Like a lot of things, like English monkey. It's not. My grandmother used to make English monkey because she was Irish or Welsh. That's right, she's Welsh. That's why Welsh, it's a retaliation for Welsh rarebit. English monkey. What is English monkey? It's scrambled. I think it's scrambled eggs and cheese and bread and something like that all mixed up in a pan. So go ahead and make it. You can make your own or look it up on the parody site, Wikipedia, and they'll have something. They'll probably have a monkey dressed as Prince Charles or something, because both of them say, oh, look at the ears on this one. Looks just like royalty. We've been making fun of royalty for so long, haven't we? And I'm just really upset that the new princess there is so pretty. I'm trying to pick something apart on her, say, oh, it was darn well. But they really don't have any power over us anymore, especially those of us living in Kentucky. I really have no contact with the monarchs of the world in general. I'd like to meet some. Boy, I'd like to meet a king. Wouldn't you? I don't know what I'd say. I'd be so nervous. Say, oh, king. Is that how you address them? It's funny. Nobody even calls him king. I wonder what their fraternity nickname would be. Trey. Maybe. I don't know. They say have to be the third something. Richard. I'm Richard the Third, but they call me Trey. Oh, hey, they just found Richard the Third's bones. They found his skull. And they did what they always do now when they find skulls is to stick erasers on it and then put clay on it. I would do that, but just come out with a big... Everybody... would look just like Mr. Blobby or something if I did it. I said, I don't know, because I don't know what the average thickness of the human cheek or jowl is supposed to be, because I've not studied anatomy formally. I've done some field study where I go out and I look at anatomy. No, just general, clothed. I would not even look. I don't even like to look at naked animals. I don't go to the zoo because I feel like I'm invading their privacy. See, normally you wouldn't, here is so demeaning to watch you in that cage like that. I'm not learning anything. I don't want to put down zoos, but maybe I do. I don't know, but it's not for me. It's not for me. I don't learn anything watching an elephant be confined. So I've learned so much about the elephant, the way, look at its anus dilate as it poops. I didn't learn nothing. I knew that. I assumed that about elephants. But I'm not one. I would like to watch them run. I don't even want to watch them run. I just watch film of them running. Just you go and film it and we'll watch it. We can't all go and see things in their natural habitat. If I bump into it in life, an animal, that's fine. If it's a whistle pig or something. I saw some of them in Pennsylvania. Saw all whistle pigs right there. What's that? That's a, what do you call that? Groundhog. Groundhog. And that doesn't look like a hog or a pig or nothing. But boy, they make a funny noise. And that's how I saw it. I was like, I hear something. And whistle pig goes, whoosh, whoosh, like that. I go, you pig, whistling like that. And then I felt kind of sexy, though. I said, maybe he's whistling to me. No, nobody wants to be harassed by a tiny mammal that burrows like that in the ground. I would like an eagle to fly down and say, you're looking handsome today. Like that. I would be doing all the sound effects with my mouth today, like Michael Wiggins or whatever from old police car movies. Oh, man. I can do... I don't want to do him because I have to. He put the microphone in his mouth. You don't want to ever follow that guy on a talk show or something. So I saw he's all jamming it in his mouth to make those sounds and all. I don't want to. Do you have the spray or something I could put on it? Because it's just like I'm kissing the previous guest. Radio's like that too. Radio's got the, there's this clown nose that you put over the microphone. And it's nice, but it absorbs a lot of odors and things of the previous, because you spit, you don't see the microscopic spit that comes. If you had a slow motion infrared camera, you could see the DJs look like that, like he's spraying it all. Aerosol, like the opposite of Lysol, DJ mouth. Then you got to come up on and say, and there's nothing like if after spit sits for a while, it begins to, I don't know, ferment. Now, fermented spit is a liquor in China. And it's making its way over here. Don't drink it. Get drinking just to get drunk. That's no good. Don't do that. You should drink. A lot of times I'll just smell whiskey. I just want to sit and smell it. I don't want to get any kind of, I won't get debilitated because I'm flying an airplane. But I'll just smell it. That's a problem, though. A lot of times, I'm not going to drink the whiskey, but I'm going to rub it around my mouth. And then when I get off the flying airplane, they go, have you been drinking? They smell me. And they go, yeah. And I say, you can't make assumptions like that. You can't assume. Sometimes the senses lie. And I know I get a lot of smell hallucinations. And I think something smells good for a minute. Has that ever happened to you? You go, hey, something smells really nice, like cupcakes. Oh, no, it's garbage. And for a minute, you misinterpret the smell, or it's like the smell version of Christina's world. You go, oh, look at that pretty girl sitting in that field, and then finally they turn the painting around, and poor, unfortunate, she's not as pretty as you think on the other side of the canvas. There's a lot of paintings like that they haven't turned around yet. I'm curious to see, like, what's on the other side of that Jericho painting on the raft or something. There's a boat out there. They're fine. In fact, they're just part of a tour group swimming naked with dolphins. But you don't know that when you're in the Louvre. You're so overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed. The Louvre is like a teapot. Why do you say that? What is tea? Well, tea is, you know, actual plant and stuff. Like, you know, and it could be like Assam or Darjeeling or Pu'er. There's black teas, green teas. But now anything is a tea. We are in the age of anything is a tea. And mostly what they call tea now, we used to call your grandma's panty drawer sachet. And they stick that. Say, that's a sachet. It's all, I can smell it. It's lavender and chamomile. And go, oh, no, that's a tea bag. You go, oh, I don't think so. I think that's a sachet. Why does it have a little pink ribbon around it? And they dip that in water, and then they drink it. They drink the infusion. And I'm getting no buzz. I can't stay awake. Why have it at 4 o'clock if it's not going to wake you up? That's what, there's no medicinal. I say, oh yeah, there's subtle medicinal properties to Kakanosha or something like that. I said, I don't know about that, man. They go, yeah. I just upsets my stomach sometimes. Little flour, dried daisies or something. I like tea. It's going to make me nauseous. So I drink that tea. I feel really good to talk like this for a long time. And then I'm like, oh, bleh. And that's the tea experience for me. But I guess tea is anything that infuses. If you stick something in water, I'm going to sound like Bruce Lee for a minute. Be like tea. The tea hits the water, and the water starts, it stuff leaches out of you into the water. Be both the water and the tea bag, and leach out flavor into yourself. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. If anything is that, then I've always contended that a person in a bathtub is tea. You are the tea bag, and you get in that bathtub, and what have you made? You've made human tea, and that dirty bathwater is a type of tea. Nothing will drink it except a doggy. They say, oh, I love, what is this? It's like dog tea. Mm-mm. Dog drinks out of the toilet, which is clean, should be clean, because it refreshes. So look, it's totally clean now. Poo is gone. It's all gone. Where'd it go? Away. Where away? Don't worry about it. It's mostly like that with waste. It went, where'd it go? It went halfway down the yard. Oh, it didn't go to the sewer? Well, sewer line collapsed a long time ago. Most of your poo is just getting absorbed into the yard now. If you have an older house, that's probably the case. Check and make sure that your sewer line isn't Orangeburg. What's Orangeburg? Orangeburg's pressed tar paper sewer pipe, and eventually it collapses and everything, and all of a sudden you go, hey, I'm seeing it. You flush the toilet, and there's an old friend. So he said, I don't want to see that. I didn't want to see him anymore. I defriended that turd, and it's supposed to go away. Now, we can't make everything go away. Everything that comes out of us does stay in the tea. We walk into, okay, here's a good one. Okay, water, I just thought of this too. Water is society, and you are a PG tip. And you walk out there, and society, you start to leach into society there. I don't know. No, gosh, it felt like it was going to be good. I'm not so good at analogy. I'm not good at analogy. I'm just good at analogy. Analogy is the opposite of analogy. It's like A, you can put A in front of anything, it negates it. Anosia, for example. Aphasia. See how that works? A car. No, you can't just do that. Not the definite article or indefinite article A. See, I just added myself as somebody who paid attention in school, that I know the difference between an indefinite and a definite article. I can't believe it. An indefinite article is a parody site article, and a definite article comes from something like CNN or New York Times. We need to be able to distinguish what's fake news. I'll tell you what's fake news. All, everything. That's a good start. You don't know what you're reading. Do you believe nothing, Hardy? Nothing you're reading the papers? I wouldn't go that far. I'd say, oh, there's a kernel of truth. And what's not colonel, like Hogan. Colonel Hogan, though, is a bit of a kernel of truth, isn't he? Not the actor. People get the actors and the characters confused. I understand that. So if you see, that's Sam the Butcher. Go, no, that's Alan, what's his name? See, I just did it. And then they call out, your actors have that problem, to call out your character when they see you, right? So actor walks down the street, people go by and they go, hey, it's guy number one. Or they say, oh, hey, it's movie patron three, is what they'll say. And they won't say your name. Like, oh, it's Hardy White. And they go, no. It's guy with an umbrella, number two. But I wouldn't mind getting stereocast as a type. No, that'd be wonderful to be Gilligan or Spock or something. Say, oh, Spock, hey, Gilligan. Hey, Mork. Oh, bless all of you who are struggling. Are we all struggling? I guess. I don't know. I know some are. I don't find out about a lot of people's struggles until they've lost. And that's no good. That's no good. Sometimes we don't know. Well, how do we find out whether somebody else is has any kind of problems or anything? I suppose Facebook, but I don't know. I guess talking to them too. I spend a great deal of time alone, and that's how I can contemplate life. And I'll close my eyes and say, I'm just going to sit here and think, but I fall asleep. That's where tea making is so important. I have, not recently, but a few years ago, took up the art of Kung Fu tea making. Now, what is that? Well, is that you're going to karate chop the teapot? Yes, that's exactly what it is. So you set up a tea set, and then, boom, bong sao, and it's gone. And so, well, that doesn't seem right. And I go, well, you know, there's also, I got two forces. You know, I've got European artistic movement sensibilities in me, but I also have Asian sensibilities, and they come together. And what do they make? Like I said, PG tips. Also India. All the countries that produce tea have, I think, influenced me intellectually a little bit. And why is that? Is it the tea? Can you just drink something in and then does it become part of you? Yes, in a way. Like mercury, for instance. Mercury was a character in mythology. I was going to say Greek, one of them. And what happens is he gets into your system somehow. And because he's heavy metal, again, I don't understand a lot of music genres, it resides in your liver. Now, what's your liver? Your liver is where all your anger comes from. See, don't listen to me. I think you should go to a school. And go to a school. First thing you should ask them is, y'all have tea, and what kind of tea? And if they say, oh, yes, we have a whole, and they whip out the tea box, and it's all herbal teas, don't go there. Don't go to that school. I know that's a bad criteria to use. Say, well, what is, I'm confused. Is that, I thought that was orange pico, but now I'd say it doesn't say orange pico. Mm-mm. It says orange paco. So I don't know. It's a Mexican blend, but it's not, again, it's not tea and it's not caffeinated. Do we all need caffeine? Say a lot of people don't. So I thought caffeine was bad for your health. Well, sometimes it stimulates the mind. I like to have a little bit before I do the show. I can tell. No matter what you do, if you succeed at it, someone will try to find the drug that you're taking that makes it so. They will never say, oh, your mind works quickly. They'll say, that fella's on some stimulants or something. Isn't that funny? They don't want to give you credit. Well, I'm just going to publish a list of things I'm on right now. Coffee. And I had half of a green tea Kit Kat. Where'd you get that? My Japanese friend gave it to me. Japanese people eat green tea Kit Kats all the time, apparently. I said, thank you. And then some green tea. Oh, thank you very much for the green tea. And what else? Oh, and the Hello Kitty notepad. Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to use it to write down all my tea experiences. But the reason I use tea is because we sit down together and we take some time. It takes a little time. And it takes time to know people, doesn't it? You can't know people. A lot of times when somebody acts an axe murderer, they'll talk to the neighbors and they'll say, did you know, you got an axe murderer. What was he like? And say, well, every day I would sit down with the axe murderer and we would have tea and we would have very long, detailed discussions about things, about morality, about ethics. And I said, axe murderer, what are your ethics? He said, well, sometimes I think I'm a utilitarian. But then, really lately I've been reading a lot of feminist literature and the ethics of care. And I think it really comes down to this. I don't know that I would axe murder somebody that I had a close relationship to. For me, I would spare that person and axe murder somebody else. No, I don't think that happens a lot of times. Most times, I don't know, I'd see him, I'd wave. And then, but occasionally I'd see him mowing his lawn with an axe. But other than that, he seemed absolutely normal. Well, that's because nobody is normal, and really everybody is a potential axe murderer. The ones that don't do, if you see somebody in the front lawn actually swinging axes, they're probably some sort of nerd that's in some kind of reenactment thing, and they're harmless. Isn't that ironic? So again, person swinging axes, not dangerous. Person mowing lawn, threat. So that's, I'm going to put out a book like this. One time when I was living in Florida, the law enforcement agency put out a little guy, like a comic book for children. Because as you know, children can't read words. So they have always, everything's in comic book form for them. I'm going to tell them the story of George Washington in comic book form. And then a lot of people in that generation became addicted to that and said, I only can read in comic book form. And so Les Miserables is incredibly long now. And the autobiography of Chateaubriand, dang, it's volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes. But they put out this book and it said, here's for children to recognize danger. These are dangerous faces. Mm. And all the dangerous faces had like on baseball caps and beards. And then unshaven people with nice hair were the friendly, good faces. Now, this is not helpful at all because you really can't tell a threat by what kind of hat they're wearing. Unless, well, now I may be wrong there because I've seen some hats. Now, say Farrell's hat, fine. I'm not threatened by that because if he gave me any trouble, I'd stooge. Like, I'd pull it down over his face, and he'd be like, boo, 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 boo. But some hats maybe are, because they say rude things on them, like, I'm going to kill you or something, right on a trucker hat. That would be a good stay away. It's a warning sign. A lot of us have warning coloration. I don't believe tattoos are one of those. You can't tell so much anymore. You used to be able to. I remember it's just, oh, it's just a criminal class. Now, it's every class. Class of 2010, every class has that, all the tattoos and everything. I haven't done it so much because I'm using my money for other things than getting stuck with needles. I'm using it for acupuncture. No. I'm generally not being poked with anything. Not right now. And what am I using my money? I'm saving it. No, I'm not. I'm going to spend it almost immediately on stupid things like food or clothes. I do only shop for clothing at the Salvation Army. Not Salvation Army, Goodwill. But let me tell you something. I have lots of Brooks Brothers in my collection. Lots of Brooks Brothers clothes and everything. Granted, they're urine stained, but still, you know, I just, hey, that's a price you pay sometimes. But I don't mind wearing a dead man's clothes because I'm thinking a dead man's thoughts. Everything we have, we inherited. Everything we have, we got from the dead. Everything we have is handed down. Everything we have is a pea-stained pant. Everything we have is someone else's. I'll tell you what, a mattress. Oh, the mattress. Can't reuse a mattress for a lot of reasons, especially if someone died upon it. If someone died upon a mattress, it is no good anymore. It's become soiled with their dying. Unless you put a plastic cover. See, it's just that easy. Put a plastic fitted sheet under it, then you can die on your mattress all you want, every damn day. But if you don't, I'm afraid it's ruined, which is a shame, because if it's a posturpedic or one of them, you don't want to do that. Don't die on that. I'm going to try to move to the floor. So put down some Visqueen, I'm missing to die. And they're all right, Harley, and they roll me down on the floor. And hours later, I'm going, you know what? I don't know if it's time. Can we pull up an episode of Fly of the Conchords on Amazon Prime? I want to see that. That'll keep me alive and laughing. Oh, a good laugh. Laughter, although not the best medicine, I just now have to pay Reader's Digest $50. I'm glad they don't. Aren't as powerful as they once were. Oh, Reader's Digest used to be very powerful. You couldn't say anything. say, oh, laughter's best medicine. Oh, can't say that. That's theirs, copyrighted. But it is. It's not the, we find now it's not the best medicine, but it gives us what they call, if some people take it, it gives us herd immunity. See, if some of us are laughing, we can sort of lift up the ones who aren't, because sometimes life is not always funny. Say, oh, Hardy, you must be always happy all the time because you sound depressed. Right. It's always the opposite, isn't it? No, I don't know. We all have our ups and downs or severe mental illness, and we don't always wear it on our shirts. Except I did. I'd have the mental institute I was in. I got a T-shirt from only because we had a softball team. I'm not gonna make jokes about that. I've never been. The only hospital I've been in is a French neurological hospital. Isn't that interesting? What was wrong with your mind? They never did find out. The French did say, oh, your brain looks very wrong and different. Go home. All right, no problem. That's not a problem. I don't have to have a label on something unless it's a soup can. Don't have the labelless can. You don't know what's in that can. Could you imagine you keep cans without a label in your bomb shelter? And then the bomb goes off, you're stuck in there, and you open it, and squoosh, and out comes a fake snake, spring-loaded snake. That could happen. And you go, I thought it was peanut brittle was going to last me for years down here, and now it's a joke can. Or it's, you open it up, it's empty, because the label said, Florida Air. I wanted stuff like that as a kid. You go in a shop and say, oh, a can of Florida Air. Florida sand, right? Monkey gas. So I don't want that. He says, no, it's a ripoff. But it's Florida Air, so you don't know what it is. It might be nothing. Well, I could open it and smell it. Then it gets out. See, that's my conversation with my grandfather. So I'm not going to buy you that. So can I get a coconut carved like a pirate face? No, that is something. Yes, that's something that's going to last you. I don't know if you can get a lot of those old-time Florida souvenirs that you used to could. Especially the preserved dead animals in poses. You don't want that. Little baby alligators. Dead baby alligators. Ugh. People would buy these dead baby alligators, flush them down the toilet, and then the sewers would be full of dead baby alligators. Would they come to life and then grow? No, silly. We don't know what's in the sewers, do we? Or you might. I've actually seen, they have cameras in a lot of them now in the big sewers. Make sure nothing's going on down there. What lurks in places where we don't know what's there? Like the recesses of our mind, or sewers, or your shed out back because you don't want to go in it because the last time there was some kind of snake or animal in there and you go, I'm not going in there. Last time I was in there, a big roach flew out into my face. Now I'm not going back. There's spiders. And I don't care if I never see my weed eater again. I'm not going in there. It's scaring me. And then no one goes in there for years. And years go by. And then someone buys the house. And they go in there. And they go, weed eater, score! Like that. Because they're not afraid of spiders. So don't you be afraid of what's in those recesses of your mind. Or what's in recess general. Recess at school. Oh, I just had a flashback to that. That could be scary. Say, I'm going to get you at recess. Oh, man, I don't want to go out. It's a break, and I know, but I'm safe if I'm in the classroom. If I go outside, the bully's going to beat me up. How do you handle bullies? I don't know. Oh, don't go to recess. Say, I'd like to help clean erasers today. You're so helpful, Hardy. I know. Also, I'm incredibly scared. So I'd rather clap erasers, which they make you do outside, where I got beat up. No, I didn't get picked on really. I got maybe a little bit. I don't remember. I blocked it out. I don't remember what happened in school, especially a lot of the academics has really escaped me. I remember when so and so mashed a cupcake into Jimmy's face, but I don't remember math. It's funny how that gets away from you. I was at the flea market one time, Georgia 400, and this woman was selling Bibles or and rusty tools. A lot of flea markets are like that. It's just like people grab whatever they have around, right? As whether it's broken or not, old books, stuff you don't want. And she's sitting there, and she's talking about the Bible with somebody, and she says, yeah, I used to speak the Greek and the Hebrew, but no more. I've forgotten so much of it. I go, I wonder how you forget ancient Greek. I wonder that. I've never even been alive long enough to forget a whole language that I was fluent in. That must be remarkable. And she did not look like a scholar at all. She's a heavy lady wearing, I guess that she was heavier when I saw her than she was when she had gotten dressed, because it looked like the shorts she was wearing were probably looser that morning. But by the time I saw her, had started to get so tight that her flesh was growing around it like a tree around a guy wire or something. You know how that just will eat the fence? And that's what happened to the shorts. I go, oh, Lord, she must have swollen up today bad or something. And she's sitting there. And I'm not saying that people, lots of good people are missing teeth. Lots of scholars are missing teeth. And Christopher Hitchens had a bunch. Remember, he had a bunch of out on the side. I was like, hey, yeah, I don't believe in God. Like that. I just saw a man come up to me. I don't have no car now. I was like a used car lot. A man came up to me and said, that's a good one. She says, ah, that's a VW. Said, I didn't want to get a VW because of the hippie culture. And I said, oh, what's that? That's when you put a hippie in a Petri dish. Am I wrong? And he's just looking at me like, I wanted him to go away a bit because I didn't want to talk about his prejudices necessarily. But he said, the car is better than the people who like it. I don't know, man. It's funny. It's not the Nazis that bother you. It's hippies. So that's interesting. And the only reason I said this is because this fella was missing almost every tooth but one. And I felt like saying, just, you got to get rid of that last tooth. It's drawing attention to the other ones. I think if it was gone, it would be more, you'd look more, your mouth would look consistent and you might not miss the teeth. And I wouldn't hear all the nonsense that's coming out of your mouth either. Because you're right like that. Hey, we can't all keep our teeth. Our ancestors, did they have all their teeth? We can look at the skulls, like the skulls of Richard III, again, who I call Trey. And now they know from his bones what he ate. And he ate swan and egret. Can you imagine that? I've never had this. Have you ever had swan or egret? I imagine it tastes like chicken. Because it's a fowl, right? Who would eat swan or egret? My goodness, it's like eating heron or something like that. People do that too, I suppose. But I guess that's what kings do. Say, what can I eat that no other man says, oh, you eat a golden swan, your majesty. Oh, is there something better than? How about royal babies or something like that? The children of kings, that's what I'd like. How's that made? Well, first, we cure it. It's made a lot like pastrami. Said the king, oh, I don't know about that. But he had that, and he drank a lot of wine, drank a bottle of wine, which people did back then. Everybody did everything drunk. So if you were considered a drunk hundreds of years ago, that's saying something, because everybody was drinking. It was before coffee. People used to go, oh, I got to go to work. Where's the whiskey? So I'm not right until I've had my mead. I just can't get up in the morning. But we switched to coffee, and everybody became a little more productive. But the I tell you, buildings are more boring, because all those cathedrals, those are all booze-fueled. And then look at modern churches, what we build on coffee. Yikes. There's so many churches in the town where I live that people buy houses, residential houses, and turn them into churches. And somebody recently did that, and they put a steeple on top of a ranch home. And it looks interesting. I think, man, I need a steeple. That's what I need, something like that, or a minaret on my split level or something like that. I just find that fascinating. Anything can be a church, I suppose, can it? I've seen churches in storefronts, little tiny ones. You know, I'm just like in a strip mall. With a glass window, say church right there. The church, and they always have names. aren't with any denomination, you know, new good church. Hope at last church. You know, like that. I said, I wonder what their theology is. I can't look it up because I don't know. I saw a sign says, tired of church politics? Us too. I go, what kind of politics? Doesn't even say. So I go, you know, aren't you tired of church politics? People arguing for women's equality or something like that? No, that sounds fine with me. Yeah, so it's strange. So, they share my prejudices. I don't enjoy being around people who think exactly like me, except for my twin brother, Hale. I like being around him. No, he actually thinks the opposite of me. I have an imaginary twin brother who thinks the opposite of everything I think. So if I'm in a situation, I'm making a decision, I always talk to Hale because he always will contradict me. And I find that very useful because I'm not challenged by him because I'll tell you a couple of reasons. He's so like me, you know, that I don't feel threatened. Two, he's not real. And that's probably the big one. I probably should have said that first. But so I create a lot of characters in my mind to help me do things. I'm not always brave enough or strong enough. And so, that can't be helpful. Can it? To make imaginary characters in your head to help you navigate life? Like my one imaginary character, the Navigator. He helps me. And he'll go, turn here, turn here. I go, all right, doesn't seem right, but okay. He just makes decisions like that. But I have a whole cast of characters in my head. Are you living a fantasy life, Hardy? I think all life is a fantasy life. I'm not sure what's going on. So I try to use my creativity because man is a creating creature. Man, only man, makes face jugs. Did you know that? And some, I guess monkeys would make them. But they don't have any use for it. So I'll drink out of a toilet. I don't need a jug for nothing. And only humans have, because humans want to preserve and keep things. They want to store. That's why I have that show where the people hoard things. So I'm going to collect as many face jugs as I possibly can. And magazines. And bits of string. And things like that. I can't let anything go. I might need it. Eventually I have to let everything go, though. So I think the first thing to practice letting things go is let go of things you don't need, things that hurt you. And I quote Day of the Dolphin, thing on Fa's back will hurt Fa. Take it off of Fa. Get this off of Fa. What's on my back? Calm down, Fa. Get it off my back. Thing on Fa's back, bugging Fa. Or is it Ka? I haven't seen that movie in so long. When I was in high school, they were going to show, they had like a fundraiser, bought tickets, and the last day of school, we were all going to watch Tommy by The Who. And a parent got word of this, and they said, no, no, no. That's a bad film, an evil film. You cannot show Tommy. It's got baked beans in it. I said, So we all showed up, tricked into getting tickets to Tommy. We sit down. And there's George C. Scott, and they showed us Day of the Dolphin. And I thought, this is worse than Tommy, because this is now I'm in a murderous rage, which I wouldn't have been if I'd watched Tommy. Did the parents understand that through their censorship, is it censorship at school? Not really, I guess, but they didn't want it shown because they thought it'd give us the wrong message. But the message I got is some ideas are dangerous. And I thought, I don't know. I want to learn those now. So it made things seem to me subversive that weren't subversive. You know, it made things seem dangerous that weren't dangerous. Just because someone... Here, I got a song in me. I don't. Oh, God, I hope I do, because I just picked up the little guitar. Here's that ukulele dancing flea. Ukulele small guitar. It's just a small guitar. So everybody inside of them has a tiny little guitar, don't they? And you want to let it out. No, that's not. Don't ever let somebody else's fears be your fears. Don't ever let anybody else's fears be your fears. Fairs are like underwear. You can't get them second hand. Fairs are like shoes. Please wear pads when you try them on. Fairs are like swimsuits. Can't get a used one because it's got little hair stuck to it. Oh, good Lord, don't wear that. That is not hygienic at all. I'm done with clever song. I don't like, you know, a lot of clever. I didn't say that was clever. I don't mean to imply that was clever. But a lot of comic songs don't help sometimes. So let me just say this, state this unequivocally. Don't let other people's fears be your fears. Get your own, my brother. Like that, like they say on that compilation, Funk K-Tel compilations. Get your own, my brother's mine. Get your own. And then stab, 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 stab. No, but you do. You won't get your own fears based on your own experience and let them ruin your life other than have somebody else's do it. Because, you know, it might not fit. You want customized fears that are just made just for you. And same with your prejudices and your bigotries. Get your own through experience. Now, I tell you what, I know that I've only really now hung out with one Japanese person, but what? Here, I'm going to generalize, and you tell me if it's wrong. Japanese people are very gracious when they come to stay with you. So, no. See, when I say something positive, it doesn't sound bad, does it? But when I say something specific or negative, like, let's see. Japanese people say, like that. You say, well, that can't be right. That's probably just unique to the person you met. How do we know? How do we know what we can generalize and what's unique to the person we met? How do we know an elephant isn't flat like a pancake if, in fact, the elephant has been flattened like a pancake? See, it might not just be perspective. It might be true. I don't know. Let's say a Japanese people wear reading glasses. Japanese people are 52-year-old females. Japanese people are very polite. Japanese people follow instructions very, very well. See, that's not, this is ridiculous. Because those sounded, so yes, that's right. Who knows? Now, what can you generalize about? Animals? You can say chimpanzees are vicious. Not all. Are they all? Coco the gorilla. Well, she's a gorilla. Oh, I see. She's a, they told her that Robin Williams had passed away, and they said she's sad. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if she really knew, or whether she's just like, God, it's always sad when somebody dies. That's what the gorilla's thinking. Thinking, oh, it's always sad. What about all Coco say, Coco think all ball. Coco remember kitten. Kitten die, sad Coco. Other people, no famous people die, Coco sad. Coco sad, you know, what if you all those people we lost who didn't have the opportunity to touch any lives or something, are they less? No. What are you doing, Hardy? Sometimes I make sounds when I can't make words. A lot of people keep talking. Not Hardy. Hardy says, I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I just say, I don't know. And I call out to the universe and I say, oh, because it don't have words. You don't have to use words for everything. Don't feel like you got to form everything in an idea. There's so much pressure to be smarter to know, because you think if I seem vulnerable or I seem ignorant, then I'll be lesser than everybody. But I don't embrace my ignorance, but I do embrace the limitations of my knowledge and say, some things I will never know, and I will die not knowing them. And so this whole world I navigate as if in a fog. And I try my best, and I have my arms out all the time going, Marco, Polo, Marco,
Polo,
Marco,
Polo,
Marco,
Polo,
Marco. Like that. And eventually, I drown. Because I realize I'm not anywhere near the side of the pool. And instead of coming to get me, my id just laughs, saying, "You just lost. You will never find your polo, Marco." And what's that mean? Says, "You can explore the world, but you'll never know the world. And the more you explore, the more questions that arise. The broader your horizons, the more questions you have." Right? Is that right? Am I right? You'd say, "Oh, you'd think you'd have more questions the less you know." No, the more you know, the more questions you have. Because everything branches out. You explore a subject and then you see, it goes out in a million directions like that. Oh, it's beautiful. That's why you may lay on your deathbed saying, "Man, I don't feel like I even made a dent. Should I have not tried?" No, it's a beautiful effort. Go out there and make tea. Make tea out of everything. I make tea. Hey, they got something called bubble tea. And that's where you take your tea and you go, and you, like that. I used to do that with straw. Go, and blow into the straw. And your parents go, "Stop that. What are you doing?" "I'm making bubble tea. Cut it out." But no, this bubble tea has tapioca in it or something like that, which is great. I used to think they were like fish eyes or something. I'm eating fish eyes. I felt exotic. Say, "No, it's some kind of vegetable." Oh, that's disappointing. My friends, the opportunity to visit with you like this and have tea. Oh, here, I'm going to make tea. Here's the teapot, the lid going on. Clink. Let me take it off again. Clink. Now I'm warming the teapot in warm water. Doesn't that sound right? And then now I'm putting the tea in the teapot. Oh, no, that's not right. Now I'm pouring the tea. I'm bored. I'm not doing it right. I don't think that's something you can practice. I did try it a long time to get this one down, though. Right? Little dripping water. Children love that. I find that I'm more effective. My powers are more effective on children. And really average, very average children, mostly. But I love them because their sense of wonder is they're not jaded. Some children know, "I've seen that. I got a TV set. I've seen it all." Oh, I'm looking for an old-fashioned child. So when I show them like a little, I'm spinning a bike wheel with a stick. "Hey, it's magic." That's a child I'm looking for. All these children think they know it all, seen it all. I'm worried about them. They don't, their vision has been clouded. They've got, you know what it's like? It's like when those spy movies, like in Mission Impossible, where there's a security camera. And what they do is they put a picture over the security camera so that the person monitoring the security camera, they think they see what's in the room, but they're really just looking at the picture because their vision's been blocked. And that's the way it is, I think, with some of us nowadays. We think we know what we're seeing, but our vision has been blocked by the Impossible Missions Team, which is actually the proper name. It's not Mission Impossible Team. It's Impossible Missions Team, or Force, or IMF. Excuse me. I'm choking on my own superiority. But we don't. Because there's a photograph up there. I guess they printed it out on photo. I mean, back in then, they would have had to have it developed. Could you imagine a fella at Eckerd Drugs or something going, "What is this? It's an empty room at a vault, at a bank vault. I wonder what they're going to use that for." Oh, and here's Pepper naked. Is that her name, Pepper? No, Cinnamon. Pepper was policewoman. Pepper and Cinnamon. Did you see that issue of Playboy? They had all spices. All spice. Those are the original Spice Girls, by the way, Pepper and Cinnamon. And then the later, Sporty Spice, that's not a, what kind of spice is that? Old, then there's Old Spice. Remember her? "Oh, I am so blessed, and I know this because when I feel bad, I reach out to my friends, and they say, stop feeling bad." That's not particularly helpful. But knowing that people care, that's enough. Don't worry about their advice. The point is to be together so that they can ooze their essence into your water. You know what I'm saying? So they can leach their medicinal properties into your hot water. You provide the hot water in the teapot, and your friends come over. Now, tea bags, they're so convenient. But hear me out. Use the loose tea. Use the loose tea. Take time. Say, I'm not in a rush. I'm going to sit here and we're going to wait for the tea to steep. And then we're going to pour the tea. And then we're going to do everything like that. There's a step for everything. And it calms the brain. And it slows the breathing. And you can take time to really know somebody. And that's what it's about. Because you're not going to be able to do the right thing unless your heart is connected to other people. Now, when I met that Japanese person, the connection, it was immediate. I felt like, I'm reaching out across the waters. I'm reaching out to another person, had a totally different experience than myself. And it made me feel very emotional because I said, now I care. Now, what have I done? It's like a genealogy tree. Everything is like a tree. Everything branches. So if you love one person, then you care about all the people they care about. You see what I'm saying? So if you care about enough people, mathematically, you could care about everybody on earth. Because if you care about them, and then you care for everybody they care for, you see how fast that tree grows? It's like that when you do a genealogy, you, your parents, grandpa, it goes exponentially, it grows. And all of a sudden, after 8 generations, you have 5 billion people. I know that's not correct, but you get where I'm going. So how many people would you have to meet and love on earth in order to love everyone and to consider everybody your family? I want to be in your family tree. Let me into your family tree. I want to be your Uncle Hardy. Let me into your family tree. I said, let me into your genealogy. Let me into your heart. Then I will love all those you love. And we will all love and we'll be a big tree. Just like a dendrite. Somebody goes up to a tree and sits there is also a dendrite, like a stylite, like sitting on top of a pole for religious reasons. People don't do that much anymore. Imagine that. Oh, I won't get close to God by sitting up in a tree. Not really done much anymore, but I recommend it. Go and sit in a tree and just contemplate the branches and see at the tip of every one of these branches is an individual, and that trunk is me. So you do that for a few minutes every day, and you will be arrested. So you're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy, Hardy. You're crazy because you believe everybody can love one another in the world. I know that they can because it's mathematically possible. I've worked it out with math. I'm a math genius. You know how I know? Because I'm not. But I'm telling myself that because if the conclusion I got to is equals love is world peace, then I must have solved the most important equation in the world. And so I would like you to get my kind of crazy and develop relationships with people and start caring about people that you meet. And then I'm telling you, that's the only way to will the world be repaired? I don't know. Will it be like the epoxy in the teapot? Will it simply look repaired? But I tell you, a shattered teapot that's been glued together still holds more water than a teapot that's shattered into many pieces. And I would rather hold a little bit of water than none. If you're retaining water, though, there's ways to work on that. Less salt, I would say. You're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, 91.9 in Blessed Rockland County. Thank you, my friends, for listening to me. Go make some tea and visit with me. I'll see you next week at the same time, God willing.
when you give best of your service. You're telling the world that the Savior has come. Don't be dismayed if men don't believe you. He'll understand all about it. Say, well done. Misunderstood.
Tell them how the pony is trotting now. Tell them how your lodestone package is working since you went on the coast and you enjoyed that coast, the coast life. Talk to them, will you? Talk to them and talk over where they can hear you. Tell them the truth now. Don't play. I'm going to tell you something right now. Do not play on this radio.
Well, you got to walk.
You got to walk the lonesome path.
Anybody
the man.
sin for yourself. Stormy rides, got to go.